ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एकायनो सौ द्विफलस्त्रिमूलश चतुरसः पञ्चविधः षडात्मा सप्तत्वगष्टवितपो नवाक्षो दशच्छदि द्विखगोयादिवृक्षः। एका ट्रांसलेशन एंड पॉट बोर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद के। The body, the total body and the individual body are of the same composition, may figuratively be called the original tree. From this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, come two kinds of fruit, the enjoyment of happiness and the suffering of distress. The cause of the tree forming its three roots in association with the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, the fruits of bodily happiness have four tastes: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are experienced through five senses for acquiring knowledge in the midst of six circumstances: lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. The seven layers of bark covering the tree are skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow, and semen. And the eight branches of the tree are the five gross and three subtle elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The tree of the body has nine hollows: the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the mouth, the rectum, and the genitals. The ten leaves, the ten airs passing through the body. The ten leaves are the ten airs passing through the body. In this tree of the body, there are two birds. One is the individual soul and the other is the super soul. Purport. This material world is composed of five principal elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, all of which are emanations from Krishna. Although the materialistic scientists may accept these five primary elements as the cause of the material manifestation, these elements in their gross and subtle states are produced by Krishna, whose marginal potency also produces the living entities working within the material world. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita clearly states that the entire cosmic manifestation is a combination of two of Krishna's energies, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The living entities are the superior energy and the inanimate material elements are his inferior energy. In the dormant stage, everything rests in Krishna. Material scientists cannot give such a thorough analysis of the material structure of the body. The analysis of the material scientists concerns itself only with inanimate matter, but this is inadequate because the living entity is completely separate from the material bodily structure. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Apareyam mitastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Although the material elements emanate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, they are separate elements and are sustained by the living entities. As indicated by the word Dvi Khagaha, the living entities within the body resemble two birds in a tree. Kha means sky and Ga means one who flies. Thus the word Dvi Khagaha refers to birds. In the tree of the body there are two birds or two living entities and they are always different. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3 the Lord says, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. O son of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. The Kshetrajna, the owner of the body, is also called Khaga, the living entity. Within the body, there are two such Kshetrajnas, the individual soul and the super soul. The individual soul is the owner of his individual body, but the super soul is present within the bodies of all living entities. Such a thorough analysis and understanding of the bodily structure cannot be obtained anywhere but in the Vedic literature. When two birds enter a tree, one may foolishly think that the birds become one or merge with the tree. But actually, they do not. Rather, each bird keeps its individual identity. Similarly, the individual soul and the super soul do not become one, nor do they merge with matter. The living entity lives close to matter, but this does not mean that he merges or mixes with it. Asango ayam purushaha. Although material scientists mistakenly see the organic and inorganic, or animate and inanimate, to be mixed, Vedic knowledge has been kept imprisoned or concealed. But every human being needs to understand it in truth. The modern civilization of ignorance is simply engaged in analyzing the body, and thus people come to the erroneous conclusion that the living force within the body is generated under certain material conditions. People have no information of the soul, and this verse gives the perfect explanation that there are two living forces, Dvi Khaga, the individual soul and the super soul. The super soul is present in every body, Ishvaraha Sarva Bhutana Mridesh Arjuna Tishthiti, whereas the individual soul is situated only in his own body and is transmigrating from one body to another. Hare Krishna. So it's a very technical verse with a lot of details given. I'll just try to revise what this verse is trying to say. This verse is giving a description or making an analogy, a comparison. The body or the material world is compared to a tree. And this tree has roots beginning from the bottom. Yeah, the roots are there. It has three major roots. They are the three modes of nature. Then when you come higher, you find the bark of the tree. So what do you find on the bark? You find, you find holes, and you find, certain layers of the bark. So those six, there are six layers. They are the skin, the blood, the muscle, the bone, the bone marrow, and the semen. They are compared to the six coverings of the bark of the tree. Then there are nine holes in the bark of the tree. What are the nine holes? Nine holes are the nine cavities of our body. We have seven on the face, on the head, and two below. Pair of eyes, a pair of nose, nostrils, pair of ears, one mouth, that is seven, and the rectum and the genital, two other, so that is nine. So there are nine holes on the bark of the tree. When you go higher, then you see the branches. Yeah, so what do you find in, how many branches are there? So here it's explained that there are eight branches. And those eight branches are compared to the eight elements of this material world. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So that's the comparison. Then those branches have leaves. So what are those leaves? The leaves are the 10 life airs. Udan, Pran, Vyan, Apan, Saman. There are the various 10 airs which are circulating in our body. Then there are fruits on the trees. So what are those fruits? Those fruits are the fruits of happiness and distress. Two types. And each fruit has got four different kinds of tastes. And what are those four tastes? The four tastes are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Like that. So when the living entity tastes those fruits, he tastes them in six different circumstances. And what are the circumstances we see in this world? Circumstances are given here in this verse. It's death, old age, thirst, hunger, illusion, and lamentation. Six circumstances in which we eat the fruits of happiness and suffering. So this is, in brief, a review of what this verse is saying. This analogy, this material world or this body is compared to a tree. A tree. Hare Krishna. So now in the 15th chapter of the Gita also a tree has been described. Krishna says, Urdhvamulam adashakam ashvattham prahuravyayam chandam siyasya paranani yastam veda savedavit. Urdhvamulam adashakam. So the mula or the roots are upwards. And the branches are going downwards. So Krishna is making an analogy. He's also similar analogy that he's comparing this world with a tree. And he says that this is, what is this tree? This is a banyan tree. A banyan tree. So Krishna is comparing this material world or the body to a banyan tree. Now, we generally don't find the roots of a tree going upwards. We find it going downwards, is it not? I mean, don't find the roots going upwards anytime. So, what does this mean? How can a tree be upside down? So, it is explained by Srila Prabhupada that it's because it's a reflection of a tree, of a real tree. Which means that this material world is actually a reflection of the real world. Material world, which is compared to a tree, is not real. It's a reflection of the real thing. That is a spiritual world. Because when you see a reflection of a tree, you find the root first, then you find the bark, then you find the branches, then you find the leaves, then you find the fruits. It's exactly opposite. So Krishna is saying that it's like a banyan tree. Like that. So now it could be any tree. Why just a banyan tree? Is it not? I mean, it could be any tree. But why a banyan tree? Now it's pretty amazing. I was just looking up into the Wikipedia to find out. Banyan. Ashwatha. In Sanskrit it's Ashwatha. In English it's banyan. It's quite amazing to know how this word banyan came into this English language. You know, when the Portuguese were in India, they used to see these banyas putting up stalls under this ashwatha tree. Banyas, you know, the merchants, Indian merchants. Banyas, they were called banyas. So they used to do business under this sacred tree. They used to touch the banyan tree. And they used to put up their stalls and they used to sell. So the Portuguese coined this word, banya, and became banyan. And then they handed over to the British people who came then to India, and that's how the tree came to be known as the banyan tree. It's interesting. So, of course, banyan tree is known as the national tree of India, by the way, if you all didn't know about it. Like we have the national bird, the peacock, and we have the national tree, the banyan tree, Ashwatha tree. So, of course, why is Krishna making this analogy? In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that amongst all trees, Ashwattaha Sarva Vrikshanam, amongst all trees, I am the banyan tree. So, many reasons. One, because the banyan tree is very well rooted, it's very strong. Yeah, you cannot uproot. I mean, if there's a storm, the banyan tree never gets uprooted. That's one of the reasons, yeah. But also because of the network, how the banyan tree is networked. It's so strongly rooted that it's extremely difficult to cut it down. And therefore, it is explained that the material attachments in this world is extremely difficult to cut. It's very difficult to cut. It's like cutting down a banyan tree. And if you see a banyan tree, it's generally spread across acres and acres of land. Is it not? I mean, banyan tree, they grow and then they drop, branches and they become roots and then again they spread and become so many branches and roots that it's difficult to identify. Narupam asyeha tato palabhyate nantu nachadir nacha sampristishtam. Krishna is saying that it is so dense, this tree is so dense that it is extremely difficult to find out where is the beginning, where is the end. It's just so vast. So therefore Krishna says, asanga shastrena dhridena chitva. So if you have to cut down this tree, we have to cut down this tree, that's important. The attachments, and each branch could be compared to our desires that we have. Each desire we have can be compared to one branch which is coming down and anchoring itself on the ground. So this tree has to be cut down. And we can understand that, we can see that from so many examples in the Shastras, that these attachments are so difficult to give up. The example could be of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, I mean the very word Dhritarashtra, some commentators translate it as Dhritarashtra, which means determined to get the land. Attached to the land, one who is attached to country, to the land, called a Dhritarashtra. And we can understand that how Dhritarashtra, after hearing from great sages, rishis, stalwart devotees like Vidura, Bhishma, including great stalwart devotees like Akrura, whom Krishna personally sent to Hastinapur to advise Dhritarashtra that what you are doing is not right. What you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not right. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. You're mistreating the Pandavas. They are the lawful heirs to the throne. Don't be partial. Don't be cruel to them. Krishna had personally sent Akrura from Mathura to Dwarka. I'm sorry, to Hastinapur, in order to advise him that he should not be doing what he's doing. So when Akrura advises him, Dhritarashtra is telling Akrura, hearing your words, it's like achieving nectar of the gods. It's so soothing. How true what you are saying is so true. But unfortunately, I'm so attached to my son that even though I know what is right, I cannot do the right thing. And he says, your words are like a lightning bolt. You know, a lightning bolt cannot be fixed in a cloud. So similarly, your instructions are not taking root in my heart because I'm attached so much to my son. And even though I know what is right, and even though I know that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, has incarnated in the Yaduvamsha to destroy the evil and establish religion, I still cannot do what is right. Just see how unfortunate my situation is. And he's like lamenting. Oh. So we see that attachments are so difficult to give up. What to speak of Dhritarashtra, even Arjuna for that matter. When the Bhagavad Gita is being spoken, we see that the Bhagavad Gita begins with what? I mean, the Bhagavad Gita begins with Dehi no smenyatha, the principles, basic foundation principles of spiritual life. Dehi no smenyatha, Dehi, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, and all that. I mean, do we think that Arjuna did not know that he was the spirit soul? Obviously not, he knew it. He's a highly learned person. He knew it already. He knew the Gita entirely, actually. But still, Krishna is again going back to the basics to repeat what Arjuna already knows. Why? Because the Gita was not spoken for information. It is spoken for transformation. Dhritarashtra was evil. He was a papi, we can say. Yeah. And Arjuna was punya. He was following a pious lifestyle. So Krishna is now trying to elevate Arjuna from above pap. He's already above pap, but now he wants to elevate him above punya to bring him to the transcendental state of Krishna consciousness. And it is not that Arjuna did not know what he has to do or what is the philosophy, what are the principles, but still Krishna is repeating because he forgot. He couldn't, because of his attachment to his family members, his, you know, Bhishma and Pitamaha and Dronacharya, his teachers and his friends, relatives. He couldn't make the right decision. And we can see that also, at least I can see that in my own life, that we've been hearing since so many years now. Again and again and again and again and still, but there is very little change or gradual change is taking place. So therefore, Krishna is comparing this to Ashwatha tree. It's very difficult to cut. So this tree represents our deep-rooted attachment. To what? Dhanam, Janam, Sundari, Kavita, Ma, Jagadish, Kamaye. Basically four things. Wealth, women, followers, high birth, and all these things. Yeah. So therefore, it is very important that we, by hearing and through certain principles which are mentioned in the Shastras, we should be actually cutting down these attachments. And in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Uddhav, the solution how we can cut down this tree. And he says, evam guru pasa naika bhaktya vidya kuthare nashite nadhira. So he says that evam guru pasana eka bhaktya. He says that by worship of the guru and by the service to the guru, and it's a two-point formula. He says service to the guru, taking the mission of the guru seriously. And the second point he says is vidya kutharena shitena dhiraha. He says that through analytical knowledge, through analysis of what is the nature of this material world, how evil this world is, we have to cut the attachments. Vivrishcha jivashayam apramattaha sampadya jatmanam athatya jastram. And he says you cut down this tree by vidya, by analysis, analytical knowledge. Try to analyze this material world and know that this material world is not a place for sane people. Be wise. Apramattaha. Not for sane people. Be wise. And he says, vivrishcha jivashayam, and uproot this deep-rooted tree of what? Asha, these desires, selfish desires that we have. And he says, sampadya chatmanam, athatya jastram. And once you have acquired the wealth of the lotus feet of the Lord, once you have realized the Lord, then what do? Athatya jastram. You abandon, you give up that weapon, that axe, that instrument which you've used to cut down this tree. Atha tyaja astram. That astra which you've used to cut down this tree, what is that? Vidya. Vidya kutharena. The analytical knowledge, discriminative knowledge, that you give it up. There's no use for that once you've reached bhakti. So that is the process. Yeah. Is to where Krishna gives this example of two-point formula, how to cut down this tree. Like that. So we have to analyze. Shastra says, I've heard one analogy, very nice analogy, that once there was a dog. And the dog was very mischievous. It was like going around barking and, biting people. So the owner of the dog thought, I should somehow control him. So he hangs a big log of wood on his neck. So he couldn't move. He was like stuck there. It was too heavy for him to move around. So he should just sit down there the whole day. So the other dogs would, come around and they would bark at him and say, just see your plight. Just see, now you can't even move. This is the reward you get for all your, nasty things that you've done. So this dog is like barking back and he says, hey, you fools, don't you know? This is the medal which my owner has given me. This is a reward for all the good work I have done. This log of wood is a medal that I'm wearing. So what is actually a punishment? He's considering it to be a great reward. So also actually this Shastra is explaining that this body in itself is actually a punishment. It's not something to be very proud of. But in the material world, something which we should be ashamed of, we are very proud of it. And we are, and there's so many problems. We have to analyze that. What are the problems? You become rich, you become famous. What are the people aspiring for? Dhanam, janam. People want to become rich. People want to be all these things. But if you carefully analyze, you realize that it's of no consequence. Like, you know, if you see, I mean, all these wealthy people, before they are wealthy, it's no problem. But once they become wealthy and they become very famous, then immediately what you see? You see that they are having security guards. Is it not? I mean, you see a security guy, you bodyguard. I'm seeing everywhere, you know, bodyguard, bodyguard. I don't know. Why do people need bodyguards? I mean, why do people need bodyguards? Because people are envious of them. They've got so much wealth, or they're so famous that now they need somebody to protect them. That's the nature of this world. That you have anything more than the others, then immediately what you develop? Enemies. People don't like you anymore. Because you have something which they don't have. So what is the value of gaining something? When you see, I mean, one sense, because you lose the focus of why we have come into this world. That's one thing. And another thing is that we, you know, lose, you know, the basic necessities which everyone are entitled for. That is a peaceful life. So simply aspiring for these things is not intelligence. And therefore Krishna says that vidya kutarena shitayena dhira, that we should use this analysis and analyze this world, how the workings, the dynamics of this world, and actually realize that sense gratification or selfish life is actually a source of suffering. The modern propaganda is all about how sense gratification can make you happy. But actually the Shastra says that sense gratification or selfishness makes us unhappy. Makes us miserable. Why? Because sense gratification or selfishness gives us this material body in the first place. That is the thing. And the thing is that the fact that we have this material body means suffering. And as it is explained in this verse, a very complicated verse, but the sum and substance of this is that there are six circumstances in this world which we are all subjected to. What is that? It is death, old age, thirst, hunger, illusion, lamentation. And if you want to get free from that, then Krishna says, evam guru pasanaika bhaktya. Second thing he says is we have to be dedicated to faithfully serving the mission of the Guru. Guru upasanaika bhaktya. Like that. Recently, one devotee sent me one very nice information about our acharya, one of our acharyas, that how he perfected his life by meeting his guru. So in the land of Pandharpur, there used to be a man whose name was Dondho Pantarai Ranganath. Now he was a son of a very powerful army man, and he used to go around in great style, wearing his armor, riding a horse, and he would go around the village. And it is explained that he was once, and he had a particular style that of drinking water, that he would enter into the river, you know, that Bhima river in Pandharpur. He would enter into it neck deep, and then he would drink the water. Like, that was his style. Along with the armor and the horse, he would go into the river up to his neck, and when he would reach his mouth level, the water would reach his mouth level, he would drink water like that. That was his peculiar style. So on the opposite side of the river, there was one great acharya whose name was Akshobhya Tirtha. He was also drinking water, and he happened to see this amazing sight, a very peculiar sight. And he told him, hey, what are you, a bullock or what? I mean, I've never seen anyone apart from a bullock drinking water like that. I mean, were you a bullock in your past life or what? Now, he was a great soul, a great acharya. And no sooner did he hear these words, a great transformation came into his life, into his heart. And all of a sudden, all the remembrances of his past life resurfaced. And he remembered who he was in his past life. And who he was? He was actually a bullock in his past life. But he was not an ordinary bullock. He was pulling the cart of the great Acharya, Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya would write books and commentaries. He would make commentaries on the Vedas and he would stock them up in his cart. And that cart would be pulled by the bullocks, that bullock. And often Madhvacharya would make comments that, and he would sometimes tease his disciples and chastise them, saying that you're not listening properly. I'm speaking, but you're not listening properly. My bull is listening more attentively than you people. Just see, whenever I speak, his ears, you know, stand up. Just see how attentively he's hearing. And like that. So many times he would make that statement. And that bull was very dear to Madhvacharya. So the disciples became very envious of this bull and they cursed this bull. This bull, we curse you that you'll be bitten by a snake. And actually, a snake came to bite this bull. But because Madhvacharya, he is all-knowing in one sense, he's a great Acharya, he blessed the bull. Don't worry, snake will bite you, but it will not affect you. You will not die. And I bless you that you will live a long life. And he died nevertheless, but he died out of old age, natural causes, not because of a snake bite. And this bull then reincarnated as this Dondho Pantharai Ranganath. And because of the grace of his guru Akshobhya Tirtha, because of this great Acharya, by his words, the memories of his past life reawakened in his heart. And all of a sudden he experienced a detachment from this world. And even though he was, in one sense, a sensual person previously, he lost all interest in his family life and in his so-called materialistic life. And he immediately surrendered to Akshobhya Tirtha and he said, I want to join your mission, I want to serve your mission. It was your words which has brought about this transformation in my life and therefore I want to be your disciple. Please accept me as a disciple. And there were others who were along with Dondho Pantharai. So they all left. They complained to his father and the father came running. Said, hey, what is this? What's going on here? Please immediately come and took him back. He had two wives at home. He couldn't leave home like that. So the father immediately came and dragged him into the house. But that night, a miracle took place. When his beautiful wife came into the room, and Dondho Pantharai was sleeping on the bed, she saw an amazing sight. What did she see? She saw one black snake lying there. So this lady became so shocked at what she saw, she immediately fell down and fainted. When she woke up, she went to her father-in-law and complained what she saw. And then the father realized that something really magical, mystical has happened to my son. And therefore then he goes to his son and he says, my dear son, if this is the case, please do whatever comes to your mind. And he goes and he surrenders to his spiritual master, Akshobhya Tirtha. And he gives him initiation and he became Jaya Tirtha, one of the acharyas in our parampara. So, therefore, Krishna is saying that evam guru pasanaika bhaktya vidya kutharena shitena dhira, that the sharp acts of analytical knowledge along with worship of the guru are two very powerful methods to cut down this tree of material attachments. It's very important, yeah. Because it's very strong and we need help. We cannot get rid of these material attachments on our own. It's very difficult. We cannot. It's impossible. Like a man fallen in a well, if he has to get out of the well, he cannot tell the other man who's also fallen along with him in the well that please save me, save me, save me. It's not possible. Only a man who's outside the well can save him by throwing him a rope. Is it not? So therefore, you need help. Now somebody shared one anecdote in this connection that one man, he wins a lottery ticket. But he didn't know about it. He won a 2 crore lottery ticket and he didn't know about it. So his relatives knew about it, his children. When the children got a lottery ticket, they saw 2 crores. Our father has become a rich man. Oh, how wonderful. But they are afraid of telling him because he was a heart patient. They thought if we tell him he's won a lottery ticket, 2 crores, he may get a heart attack and he may die. So they think we'll do something, we'll think of an arrangement. So they got an idea, a plan. They thought we'll call this doctor, his family doctor, his heart specialist, heart surgeon. We'll give him this check, this lottery, and we will tell him to devise a method of breaking the news to the father without, you know, causing any harm. So the doctor takes the lottery and invites that man who happened to be his family friend also, and calls him home for dinner and, you know, speaks to him, says that, you know, my dear friend, we've been friends for so long. It's really nice to have you as a friend. Just wanted to ask you a question casually. That what if you win a lottery ticket of 2 crores? Just assuming that if you win a lottery ticket of 2 crores, what will you do with it? So he thinks, you know, well, he says, you know, I will give 1 crore to my relatives. And you know what, my dear friend, doctor, you've been such a good friend of mine. I really promise, I swear that I'll give 1 crore to you. And when he says that, the doctor gets a heart attack and he dies. You know, how people can be so attached to wealth. It's really amazing. We all have attachments in some way or another. Like Duryodhan, he was an attachment for his father. We're all, in one sense or another, attached to something or another, at least in the conditioned state. If we are in a conditioned state, then we are attached. And therefore, Krishna is telling Sudama, also a very nice verse. I'll just end with one very beautiful verse which Krishna tells Sudama. And he says, Naham ijya prajatibhyam tapaso pashamenava tusheyam sarvabhutatma guru shushrushaya yatha. He says, Naham ijya prajatibhyam, that I am not impressed. He's telling Sudama, because Sudama, this is the case which happened when Sudama goes to Dwarka to meet Krishna, and Krishna makes him sit on his own sihasan and gives him a royal treatment. And at that time, Krishna is telling Sudama that, do you remember the time when we served in our guru's ashram? Do you remember how when we were lost in the forests? Do you remember how when our guru came and rescued us when we were caught up in a storm and we lost our way? Do you remember those times? And Sudama was very pleased by the wonderful treatment that Krishna gave, the love that Krishna expressed to Sudama, who was a poor mendicant Brahmin. So at that time, Krishna is assuring him that your service to your guru, he says, Naham ijya prajatibhyam, that I am not pleased or impressed by what? By worship. I am not impressed by what? By a high caste, being born in a high caste Brahmin family and leading a life of punya. Tapaso pashamenava, I am not impressed by, you know, tapasya or by, you know, sense control. Tushyam sarvabhutatma, how am I pleased? I, who is the Paramatma in everybody's heart, he says, Guru Shushrushayayatha, by one who is faithfully trying to execute the instructions of his guru, who's according to his capacity, who's sincerely trying to render service to the mission of his Guru Maharaj, that person truly satisfies me. He's telling Sudama. And of course, he's indicating to Sudama that you have pleased your guru, Sandipani Muni. I'm very pleased with you. Yes, you are a wonderful Brahmin, great devotee. So that is the process. Yeah, that when we chant Hare Krishna, when we fulfill the instructions of our guru, and we make the mission of the guru as a life and soul, then we can actually cut this very dense and deeply rooted tree of this material world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.